Our scripture reading this afternoon is John chapter 14. It's our text for this afternoon's sermon. We'll also be reading Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 8. First of all, reading John chapter 1, we'll read the whole chapter, beginning there in verse 1. Did I say the wrong chapter? John 14, sorry. John 14, beginning in verse 1. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and well, how do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I didn't speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask of the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I've told you before it happens, so that when it happens you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he is nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father has commanded me. Get up, let us go from here." So far, the reading of God's word for our hearts and lives this afternoon. It'll help for you to keep your Bible open to this passage. Obviously, we can't do an in-depth study of it, but I'll be referring to various verses as we consider that passage. I'll read for us now Lord's Day 8, which is question and answer 24 and 25 of the Heidelberg Catechism. So question 24, how are these articles divided, the articles of faith mentioned in question and answer 23, which is the Apostles' Creed? How are these articles divided into three parts? God the Father and our creation, God the Son and our deliverance, God the Holy Spirit and our sanctification. Question 25, since there is but one God, why do you speak of three? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Answer, because that is how God has revealed himself in his word. These three distinct persons are one true, eternal God. Let us ask the Lord's blessing on the preaching of his word. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we do ask that you would help us to pay attention to what your word has to tell us this afternoon. Please take any distractions from us. Please, dear Lord, bless the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as Christians, we believe in the one God who is triune. Believing in the Trinity is a distinctively Christian doctrine. We believe that there is only one God, one in being, and this one God exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's right. Boys and girls, you do math, right? How does one equal three? I am one being and one person, and so are each of you. But the Bible tells us that God is one being and three persons. Now that's a hard truth to think about and to understand, isn't it? So why believe it? Well, we believe it even though we cannot fully understand it. Because God has revealed himself to be triune in his word, the Bible. Remember, the Bible is our infallible rule for faith and for life. It's the only way that we can know God. And we believe it as being trustworthy because it is God's word. As it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God. As it is God's breath, when scripture speaks, it's as if God himself speaks those words to us. Now, all of mankind knows of the existence of God just by looking at creation. But without God revealing himself to us in the Bible, we would not and could not know him in a saving way. Because God reveals himself to us in his word, making himself known to us, we are to know God as he has revealed himself to us. We are not to try and understand who God is simply in a way that makes sense to us. I hope you see the importance of that statement. We are to humbly believe who God is as he has revealed himself to us in his word, not make for ourselves a God that we can easily understand. Many people doubt the existence, they doubt the doctrine of the Trinity, and many argue against it. And the reason for this is, of course, it's because the word Trinity is not in the Bible at all. And so if it's not in the Bible, how can we rightly say that God is triune? Well, We have passages in Scripture like Matthew chapter 3, Luke chapter 3, where Jesus is baptized and we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all at the same time. Also in Matthew 28, Jesus commands his disciples to go and baptize the nations in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Three very distinct persons, all placed next to each other, all on the same level, all equally God. And these aren't the only passages, of course. John 14 that we just read, John 15 in verse 26 of both of those chapters, as well as in various other New Testament passages, all reveal to us God who is triune. Now, while the Trinity is never taught explicitly by New Testament writers, it is presented to us as an accepted truth in the early church. We see it spelled out more clearly by the various church councils in the early church history. So our theme for this afternoon's sermon is, you need to believe in the triune God for your salvation. You need to believe in the triune God for your salvation. We'll consider this theme under 3 points. Firstly, the one being of God. The one being of God. Secondly, the threeness of God. That's the threeness of God. And then thirdly and finally, what knowing the triune God means for you. What knowing the triune God means for you. So firstly, the one being of God. When we consider passages that like these that talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, alongside of Deuteronomy 6 verse 4 and Mark chapter 12 verse 29, where Jesus says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." We believe that God is one. Scripture has made that abundantly clear. So each of us being one being as well, this makes sense to us about God, right? We can understand that. But then how do we understand these passages in relation to the passages on the Trinity? Now, I remember watching a lecture by R.C. Sproul, and he was speaking of the importance of Israel being distinct from the nations around about them. As other nations were all polytheistic, that is, they worshipped and served many gods. And so it was important for Israel to hold to the truth of God being one, which made them distinct from the nations around about them. Now, it's due to their limited understanding of God. And so if God had revealed himself as triune at that point in history, well, Israel, as God's chosen people, wouldn't have been seen to be distinct and separate from the surrounding pagan nations. Now, God revealing himself like that is not a lie. It's not a deception. Rather, God is revealing himself in various ways and in various times throughout redemptive history. I think it's beautiful. There's always something new to learn about God. And the beauty of redemptive history is that God reveals more of himself to us, more and more of himself, as the history goes on. And finally, that redemptive history culminates in the New Testament and the work of salvation having been worked out in the history of God's people through God's Son, Jesus Christ. And then it is by the inner working of the Holy Spirit that believers are joined to Jesus Christ and become recipients of his saving work. And so we understand that where the scriptures talk about God being one and reveals to us God as triune, we understand that these scripture passages are not in conflict with each other, but rather they are complementary to one another in revealing more of who God is, particularly in relation to our salvation from sin, all for God's glory. Because Christ's work is central in the history of redemption, and because he fulfills all the promises of God to his people, we must know Jesus Christ as he is revealed to us by God in the Bible. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says of himself that he is the truth. That he tells us the truth, and that no one comes to God the Father except through him. Jesus tells us as believers to not let our hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Jesus calls believers to believe in him in the same way that you believe in God. Jesus tells us in John 14, verses 7 to 9, that if you know him, then you would have known the Father also. And then Jesus goes on to say, from now on you do know him. That is the Father. You have seen him. Because the one who has seen me has seen the Father. In verse 11, Jesus elaborates further. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Jesus revealing to us the truth that when you see and know one person of the Godhead, you see and know the other two persons of the Godhead. They're inseparable in essence. Now that's hard to fully understand. But the Bible, we believe, it is to be what it says it is, and it never contradicts itself. It's God's word. Hebrews 6 tells us that God does not lie. And so we have to make sense of God's word in humble submission to its teachings. All scripture is breathed out by God, and God doesn't lie to us. Just because we don't fully understand how it is possible for two persons to be one being, just considering now the Father and the Son, that does not mean that we do not believe it or ought not to believe it. And that's what it means to live by faith. Not being without knowledge, which the scripture does give to us, but also gaining wisdom from that knowledge, believing what God's word tells us in Ephesians 3, that we might know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. By faith, we must believe in the God of the whole Bible, not just the passages that make sense to us to fit our limited understanding of him. So God's word tells us very clearly, God is one being, and God's word shows us the three persons of that one being. The oneness of the three persons of the Trinity. And so what it should do, it should cause us to stand in awe before the incomprehensibility of God. We must know what we can understand and humbly submit to God, acknowledging that he is who he reveals himself to be and that his thoughts and ways are far above our thoughts and ways. This brings us to our second point this afternoon, the threeness of the one God. So far we've seen here in John 14 that Jesus and the Father are one, but that's only two persons of the one being of God. Jesus goes on to reveal that the Holy Spirit is another helper that the Father will send to believers to remain with them, even though Jesus will leave them. And so we see in verse 26, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three are involved in the one work of the one God to bring about salvation for mankind. God is one in being. When we talk about the three persons of the Trinity and their relationship to one another and the work of salvation, we talk about the economy of the Trinity and the work of salvation. What does that mean? Well, it means that the three persons of the one Godhead are so clearly displayed on the pages of Scripture, they're all equal in being. But when it comes to the working out of our salvation, there's a clear order between the three persons. The Father is the one who sends the Son, Jesus Christ, to bring about our salvation. And so Jesus Christ, during his earthly ministry, is always seen to be obeying the will of the Father and glorifying him. This is why Jesus is in John 14, verse 28, that the Father is greater than I, greater in the economy of the Trinity and the work of redemption, but not greater in being, because they're one being. They're of the same essence. If I can say it reverently, they're of the same stuff that is essential to them being God. So a limited but I think useful analogy is that they're like a boss and an employee at work. So at work there is this hierarchy where the employee obeys the boss. But both the boss and the employee are men, having the same value, having been created equal as human beings made in the image of God. So I know it's a limited analogy, but it does work. Now the same applies to the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ, having fulfilled his work here on earth, along with the Father, sends the Holy Spirit to all those who believe in him as their Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit then exalts Jesus Christ, who brings us into that right relationship with God the Father. That is the economy of the Trinity. That is their relationship to one another in the working out of salvation and redeeming fallen, sinful mankind. Holy Spirit, the helper that is sent to all believers by the Father through the Son, is the one who works in us so that we know Jesus Christ, and thus we know the Father. As it says in verse 17, the helper is the Spirit of truth, whom those of the world or those who don't believe cannot receive. It's through the Holy Spirit remaining with us and dwelling in us that we're able to believe in the Son and the Father. The role of the Holy Spirit in God's one work of redemption is to glorify the Son, Jesus Christ, in order to bring us to faith in him so that we can have a right relationship with God the Father as his elect children who he's chosen from before the foundation of the world. Verse 26, Jesus goes on to say, the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Because the Holy Spirit is going to be given to the church and to all believers in Jesus Christ, Jesus says the Holy Spirit is the one who will impart to you saving grace. In verse 23, Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he'll follow my word, the Bible, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Now, thinking about that verse, those who love the Son, Jesus, the Father, will love those people. That being the case, the Father loving those who love the Son, we, meaning the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, will make our dwelling with that person. Holy Spirit is the one who is with us and in us. And yet Jesus says that the Father and the Son will make their dwelling with the person also. So do you see that where one person of the Trinity is, there also are all three persons of the Trinity together. If you see one, you see them all. This is how the inner working of the Holy Spirit enables us to know Jesus Christ in a saving way, uniting us to him as the Son and Holy Spirit are united to each other, and thus bring us peace with God by bringing us into unity with the Father. The three persons are inseparable in the one God. This is a beautiful truth. This is the comfort that you and I can enjoy in life, knowing that Christ has brought us peace with God. He's brought us into fellowship with him. And the Holy Spirit continually living within us keeps us in such close communion and union with the triune God who is the creator of the universe. And brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit being God, dwelling in us, is our guarantee of life everlasting, working in us so that we will never be separated from God again. Kept in Christ by the Holy Spirit, until Christ returns to us again as he promised in verse 28. Jesus shows us here in John 14 the reality of the triune God and the practical way in which God is one in being and three in persons and in the working out of your salvation. This brings us to our third and final point this afternoon, what faith in the triune God means for you. brothers and sisters, it's necessary to know God as being triune for the salvation of your souls. If you know Jesus, then you know the Father. And by the inner working of the Holy Spirit in your heart and life, God then draws you into fellowship with Himself. As we've already seen, Jesus says, if you know me, then you know the Father. So it's important that you come to Jesus Christ, that you come to know Him so that you may know God. I think the heart question really is, do you believe God at His Word? Do you believe God at His Word? Jesus Christ being fully God means that you can be assured that your salvation is complete. It's finished. If Jesus Christ was not God, then you could not know God the Father. I just want us to think about that. One who has a beginning in time cannot know the eternal. If Jesus is not God the Son, if He was a created being, then He does not truly know God, and that would mean that you could not know God the Father through Him. Now, it took me a long time to know my own parents' past. I remember when I was a child, and one day, I can remember that day, I suddenly realized that my parents had lived life prior to my coming into existence, prior to me becoming a part of the family. Now, I can get to know my parents for who they are as I have known and experienced them. But prior to my living knowledge, I cannot know them back then. I can know some of their past, but I've never known my dad with long hair or as a surfer. I've known him as a student, and I've known him as a minister. I got his permission to say that. Now, Asinus, the author of the Heidelberg Catechism, makes it very clear just how important it is to know God as He reveals Himself to be in His Word, as the triune God. Asinus says in his commentary on the Catechism, "No one is saved without a knowledge of God the Father. But the Father is not known without the Son." Again, no one is saved without faith in the Son of God, our mediator. Likewise, no one is sanctified and saved without a knowledge of the Holy Spirit. It's necessary then that all who will be saved should have a knowledge of the one God, the eternal Father, the co-eternal Son, and the co-eternal Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, unless you know God as He's revealed Himself, He has not made Himself known to you, nor can you expect eternal life from Him. That's how important it is to know the triune God. Brothers and sisters, the beauty of the Trinity is that Jesus, being God, knows the Father from all eternity past, and who will know Him all the way through into eternity future. Thus, by the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and teaching you about Jesus Christ and uniting you to Him in His saving work, Jesus can bring you perfect knowledge of the Father so that you can know Him truly, so that you can know Him completely, so that you can come into fellowship with God the Father. John ends chapter 14 by telling us about the peace that the Holy Spirit will bring to believers once Christ has ascended. The fact that Jesus is no longer with us ought to give us peace and joy. Jesus had to suffer. Jesus had to die and rise again from the dead. He had to ascend to the right hand of God the Father so that your and my salvation could be complete. In Him, you now have one who intercedes for you before the throne of God. God the Father sees the Son, Jesus Christ, in His glorified human body, which continually dwells before the throne of God, testifying to our having been saved through His finished work. By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, uniting us to the Son, we now have full and permanent access to God the Father's throne of grace. Don't you see, brothers and sisters? Every single day, we show that we believe in the Trinity. I'm assuming you pray at least 3 times a day to God for the meals that He gives you. And you pray as Jesus taught you to pray in God's Word. You pray to the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. The reality of what God has revealed to us about who you are now because of the redemptive work of the triune God should cause you to live this life with peace, comfort, and joy in your hearts that is expressed through the praise of your lips to the triune God. Thank God He is who He says He is, that we can know Him in a saving way. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. Please help us to see and know You for who You are as You've revealed Yourself to us in Your Word. We don't deserve Your grace, O Lord, but we are so grateful that You have made Yourself and Your grace known, that we might live with the comfort of knowing that we belong to You thanks to Your triune work of redemption. Dear Lord, help us to see and know that reality for ourselves. And may we share that reality with all those whom we come into contact with. Dear Lord, we ask that You be with us in the week ahead. We pray all this in Jesus' name and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.